This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Xiaoning. It's 7:19 a.m, Friday the 4th of December, and in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Dato' Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, former Minister of Health, as well as MP for Kuala Selangor, on the Health Ministry's budget allocation. We're running a poll on it as well on the BFM Twitter account, though I think Twitter's not really cooperating with us this morning, is it, Roshan?
Now, Twitter has had a bad week in terms of user experience, I have to say, but right now we are asking you on Twitter with the government's allocation of 32 billion ringgit for budget 2021. Do you think that the money is being used effectively to address the needs of our healthcare sector? Tell us your reasons. And since the poll isn't working, put them in the comments. Reply to that thread. Let us know what you think. Otherwise, you can get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
In the meantime, though, let's talk about IPOs, because across Southeast Asia, capital markets have appeared to stay resilient in 2020, despite uncertainties ranging from the US-China trade war to, of course, a global pandemic. Now, according to Deloitte's annual review of the IPO market in the region, total IPO activity so far this year bucked the overall downward trend, inching up to pre-COVID levels with total funds raised of over $6 billion from 100 IPOs.
That said, though, although the number of IPOs and total proceeds both fell, the total IPO market capitalization in 2020 increased by 3% to just shy of $26 billion. That's, of course, based on the report there. So I guess when we take a look at this, how does Malaysia stack up to its peers? And is this momentum here to stay?
To help us answer this morning, we're speaking with Wong Kah Chun, Disruptive Events Advisory Leader at Deloitte Malaysia. Kah Chun, thanks so much for speaking with us. So IPO activity was quite robust in Southeast Asia despite the global concerns. Why is it that IPOs in this region are bucking the trend?
Good morning and pleasure to be here. A good question. So, but let me start off by giving a slight overview of the IPO market in the region. As you mentioned, rightfully so, there was approximately 100 IPOs during the year and 6.44 billion raised in a month of 10.5 months. So if you do a simple math, that's an average of 64.4 million for 10 and a half months so far raised for each IPO. If you compare that to 2019, there was 161 IPOs and approximately 7.34 billion raised. So basically, average IPO has actually risen over the last 1 year. So there are several key factors we see contributing to the robustness of the IPO in the region. I think firstly are the type of businesses. You know, although the pandemic has affected a lot of businesses, there are also businesses that are thriving during this unprecedented period, such as medical related suppliers, like glove makers, who experience growth in demand. So if you are in essential businesses and also need funds for expansion, raising equity in the IPO market will be definitely an option. Secondly, is the IPO process. An IPO is a long process, so many companies could have already planned for an IPO in 2020, even before COVID hit Southeast Asia. So lockdown measures may have temporarily shelved those plans for certain companies, but as those measures were lifted, companies may have continued to pursue their IPO plans. That's why we see a lot more IPOs happening after lockdowns were lifted. I think lastly is actually the trading volume. There was a lot more retail participation and trading volume is much higher, especially in all the exchanges in Southeast Asia. I believe a lot of people were stuck at home. A lot of time was spent attending webinars and also probably doing online market trading. So that partly also helped companies to decide when should they be listing. So that are some of the key attributes supporting the robustness of the IPO market in Southeast Asia that we have actually gathered so far.
So give us some context here, Kah Chun. Which are the countries in Southeast Asia that did the best and who performed the worst?
Okay, I would not want to categorize the actually that did worse, but more looking at it in the countries in terms of how much funds they've raised. So in information that we've gathered, in terms of six countries, the country that did extremely well is Thailand. They raised approximately USD 3.9 billion during a pandemic year, of which 7 out of 15 top IPOs within Southeast Asia are from Thailand. This was followed up by Singapore, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Vietnam. Vietnam had the lowest fundraise of 9 million and one IPO seen so far in 2020.
All right. And so Thailand, since you mentioned it, they did notably manage to exceed their pre-COVID levels of amount raised and market capitalization. So why was it that Thailand managed to perform so well compared with its peers in the region?
That is a good question. I would say Thailand is the darling of the IPO scene for the last 2 years. The increase in amount for funds raised were mainly due to Thailand having three of the top five IPOs in Southeast Asia. The three IPOs have a combined total of USD 3.5 billion of funds raised, which accounted approximately 54% of the total IPO proceeds in Southeast Asia so far. The top IPO in Thailand, which is also the top one in Southeast Asia, is actually Central Retail Corporation, CRC. I think CRC is the largest IPO in the history of stock exchange of Thailand. For those that have been in Thailand before, CRC operates the Central Department Store, which is Thailand's largest retail department store operator. CRC did their IPO in February 2020 before COVID-19 pandemic. So the other two major listings in the stock exchange of Thailand are relating to packaging and glove businesses. As these businesses were essential businesses, they were listed second part of 2020. They have actually garnered good reception in the Thailand Stock Exchange. And one unique point that worth highlighting is the retail participation in Thailand capital market, which is also one of the key reasons supporting Thailand's IPO. More than 80% of the Thai market investments are contributed by retail investors, which with a good spread of foreign as well as local individuals compared to some countries which have a bit more institution-focused trading. So I think these are some of the key reasons why Thailand did so well in 2020.
And just to provide some context there, Central Retail Corporation's market cap IPO was $8 billion. That's like four times bigger than our biggest IPO this year, which was Mr. DIY. Now, speaking of that comparison, how does Malaysia compare as an IPO destination versus our regional peers?
Overall, I think Malaysia did pretty well. We have a total of 18 listings so far, right up to October 2020. The overall fund raised during the pandemic is slightly higher than in 2019. As you rightfully so mentioned, that we also have one key IPO in 2020, which is Mr. DIY. Mr. DIY is also listed as top. It's one of the top five IPOs in Southeast Asia during the year. So, but I would safely say, depending on the type of business and the timing of the listing, businesses that list in stock exchange of Malaysia can also raise huge funds in comparison to our neighboring exchange. Mr. DIY is a good example. And of course, our Malaysian government is very supportive of the capital market, which is a huge encouragement for the IPO in Malaysia. I think they have actually did some initiative like tax deduction of up to 1.5 million of certain eligible costs for the A's and lead market listing, as well as listing fee waiver. And similar to some Southeast Asia markets, we have also seen Malaysia that the MCO and pandemic have also created some positive elements in the capital market. As I mentioned earlier, 18 listings so far, 11 listings were actually post MCO. So, and the reason for that is actually that because there's more retail participation during MCO, I think there was a bit more extra funds available because there was loan moratorium during the month of April to September, as well as actually low interest rate, which created an awareness for people to seek alternative and better yield investment in trading in the stock market. So all these factors have clearly helped the receptions of IPO in Malaysia.
Kachin, very quickly now, we've got about a minute here. Across the wider Southeast Asian region, what is your outlook for the IPO market in the coming year? And do you think the average trading volumes that we've seen will continue? Can that momentum keep going forward?
I think overall, we continue to see positive retail participation in the capital market as an alternative investment to conventional fixed deposit savings or unit trusts. So the availability of online trading platform also eases a lot of people to start trading shares easily. So I'm cautiously optimistic that the momentum will likely to continue into 2021. So the outlook seems to be positive from that angle.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Kachun. That was Wong Kachun, Disruptive Events Advisory Leader at Deloitte Malaysia, with his thoughts on the Southeast Asia IPO market. So that's been an interesting conversation. Shanning, what were kind of some of your takeaways listening to that?
It's quite remarkable considering that we are facing a global recession that the IPO market has become so hot. But like he says, there are a few factors, right? A lot of people were at home. There was a lot more retail participation. And we can't neglect or ignore the fact that interest rates are ultra low. So everyone's chasing returns.
Yeah, and if you take a look at the top 15 IPOs in the region, Malaysia had one. That's Mr. DIY. A lot of these are more were on the Thailand Stock Exchange. And in fact, when I spoke to Evolution Wellness, the company that owns Fitness First and Celebrity Fitness and all those guys, when they were talking about the IPO, they were looking at Thailand.
Yeah, so this is something that hopefully will continue. As Kachin said, he's cautiously optimistic. But right now, we are about to head into the 7:30 news bulletin. And up next, looking at Joe Biden's picks for cabinet over in the US. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.